Today on The News and Why It Matters, is the deep state a real thing? Nikki Haley might convince you that it is. Also, Impeachment Gate 2019, the whole circus is starting. We have got the latest for you coming up this week. Don't change the channel. It starts right now. Welcome to The News and Why It Matters. Happy Monday. I am Sarah Gonzalez, today joined by Stubergear in the house.
Thank you. Yes.
And we have also got the Hodge twins. I can't believe it. Keith and Kevin Hodge, yep. Comedians, YouTube extraordinaires. You guys do everything. Well, I should say the alt-right twins.
Alt-right. I prefer the alt-right twins.
Alt-right comedians.
I actually prefer black Nazis. That's our new nickname.
I'm trying to see how that computes. I don't quite.
Yeah, those two don't even go together, right?
No, not so much.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, we're really glad that you guys are here. Thanks so much for being here. It should be a really fun ride today. Yeah. Got a lot to get into. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Boll & Branch. So, talk a lot about pillows and mattresses, and you need to make sure that your mattress is not too firm but not too squishy, and your pillow needs to be just so. You don't talk about sheets, but sheets really make a difference, right? You're laying in bed, if you've got these scratchy, itchy sheets, or if you've got sheets that don't breathe and get
worst.
Sweaty,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You wake up sweaty.
Yeah, I had some of those last night in my hotel room.
Did you?
I just took them off.
You need to tell your
Why
hotel.
Why am I sweating here?
Yes, yeah. You need to tell your hotel about Boll & Branch. They are the softest, most comfortable sheets in the world, and the only bedding loved by 3 U.S. presidents. They're 100% pure organic cotton. It's soft right out of the box, and it gets softer every time you wash it. It's like magic, I swear.
Yeah. That's amazing.
God, I could get some of those.
Make your sheets great again, huh?
See? Okay, well, let me tell you where you can get them.
Mega sheets.
For a limited time, you can get their luxury flannel bedding. They breathe. So the cool sleepers will stay warm. The warm sleepers will stay cool. You're not going to wake up sweaty like he did in his hotel room last night. Okay? Wow. You got to go to bollandbranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. If you use promo code MATTERS, which is a weird promo code, right?
It should be MAGA.
MAGA sheets. If you use promo code MATTERS, you will get $50 off of your first set of sheets. You can try them out 30 nights risk-free. All right, that's a win-win. Bollandbranch.com, promo code MATTERS, gets you $50 off of your first set of sheets over there at bollandbranch.com. So Nikki Haley is releasing her new memoirs. It is called With All Due Respect. And she's doing some interviews, making the rounds. The press has gotten a copy. But some interesting excerpts have leaked, apparently, according to The Washington Post, which I know it's The Washington Post. Okay,
yeah.
So sue me. Well, really sue them. Okay, but so Haley wrote in her memoir that Rex Tillerson and John Kelly actually confided in her that Trump was unsuited for the office of the presidency and they were resisting his directives in the best interest of the country. What warriors, what heroes. Stu, this kind of seems to me like that's the whole deep state thing that we keep seeing play out in the impeachment, the whistleblower, everything. Mm-hmm. It's just, it keeps coming back to the State Department thinks that they should be the ones to run the show, not realizing that they actually work for this guy.
Yeah, one of the things we have is a process to figure out what is the best thing for the country, and it's called voting. We all go to the polls, we pick the person we think should do the job. And the president has a bunch of responsibilities that are really important, and we elected a guy who go in and do that. If you don't like that, you can argue with him, you can resign, but what you can't do is do the opposite of what he's asking you to do. I mean, you're supposed to be supporting the president. And
exactly.
You got to be. Hopefully, there's enough of a conversation there where you can go in there and say, "Look, yeah, I think you're totally wrong on this one." If he kicks you out of the office, he kicks you out of the office.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
I mean, it's your job to not, subvert the presidency of the United States. That's not how this country is supposed to operate.
Yeah, you would expect. I would expect a lot more from our government, our elected officials. I mean, they sound like two gang members to me. Yeah. We're gonna take this fool out.
It's true.
Yeah, it's sabotaging democracy in this country. That's horrible. Why would they have this conversation? They should have this conversation not with Nikki, but with the president.
Yeah.
I'm not even that smart and I know that. You know what I mean? These guys sound like some Bloods and some Crips. We're going to take this fool out. We're going to undermine him. It's amazing selfish. What Trump has been able to accomplish with all this stuff going in the background.
Well, I mean, and you want to talk about abuse of power. I mean, if you don't agree with, usually the way that it works is if you work for an organization and you don't agree with what they're doing, you have the option to just quit.
Yeah. That's like going to work, say, we ain't gonna follow the boss's orders. Exactly. We'll get them fired. And like no one man should have that amount of power anyway. That's why our government is set up. We have checks and balances. Mm-hmm. You know, and these guys are jerks. They want all the power. You shouldn't have that amount of power. No one man should have that amount of power. If you have a disagreement, sit down with the president and discuss it with him.
Yeah. And that's what Nikki Haley says she does in the book a couple times. When she doesn't disagree with him, she goes and she talks to him. They have a conversation. I mean, a lot of times stuff happens where people like promote these candidates and you're like, oh, they're going to run for president. And the next time, I totally believe the hype with Nikki Haley. Like, this is a rollout, man. I mean, she is aligned herself with Trump, generally speaking, but showing she has a little bit of independence and she can push back here and there, but did it respectfully and in the right way. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's doing this in a way that she's already one of the leaders for 2024. And it definitely seems like this is legit. This is her really, you know, this is a book that sets the tone for a future campaign. And, you know, it's hard to believe it won't happen.
She also said she recalled feeling unconvinced when Rex Tillerson told her that he was resisting the president's decisions because, quote, if he didn't, people would die.
He did run Exxon, so.
I mean, you have to wonder, was he the one who published the New York Times anonymous op-ed?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who was it?
It's possible.
I mean, keep going back to it. I want to know.
The book's coming out next week, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be back on everyone's mind, I guess, to figure that out. Was Tillerson there when that came out? I can't remember.
I think he was.
Was he? I thought it was right after he got fired. I could be wrong. He might have been there. I mean,
I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah. I feel like it's one thing to write a column and be able to get away with, with hiding yourself. To write an entire
book,
you know, that's how they found the Unabomber. Because he used some weird term that his brother always heard him say. He was the only person I ever heard him say that word.
That sounds like Ted.
That sounds like Ted. It was Ted.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's funny. I don't know if you're going to be able to get away with it. I always think my guess on that one, the one I was mildly convinced on was John Huntsman Sr., or junior, excuse me. He was the ambassador to Russia, I think. And we had some guy on one time, and he had this whole theory about how it was him. And it was kind of convincing. It was all this language that he had used over and over again. So I don't know. That's my speculation. But Tillerson would be a huge one. I mean, if it's really Rex Tillerson, a Secretary of State writing a book under an anonymous pen name while in office would be one of the biggest scandals, I think, in American history.
I mean, the sad thing is there's no telling because it seems like almost everyone around him is trying to undermine him, which is really great for the state of our country.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think is it responsible of a publisher to publish a book, as Stu pointed out, that's completely anonymous?
Wow.
Is it responsible? Because how is the public able to do vetting? How are you able to vet whether or not you think this is true?
Well, the National Enquirer gets away with it. So.
That's a great point.
That's
a great point.
And people like it. People love conspiracies. They love them.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, look, you know, an anonymous source can work two ways, right? It can be total BS and it can be a way to just like air grievances. I mean, of course, you know, in some cases this has been, we've seen this, you know, Watergate, and there's been times where it's been valuable, but it's largely because the people at the publication do know it's not anonymous to them, right? So unless you figure it probably is someone from inside the administration, there's certainly plenty of examples of people who are bashing the guy from time to time. So it probably is somebody legitimate. You wonder, I mean, if it was let's just back up a few years and go to the Obama administration, and let's say a high-level cabinet person was writing an anonymous book, a trashing Obama behind the scenes. Every media organization in America would dedicate their lives to out this person, to dox them, to have them in front of a
great
jury
point.
Within 6 months. And here, like, they don't seem to have any interest. It's like, oh, they found someone. Great, let's read the book. It's amazing.
Unbelievable. So along the lines of the deep state. Yes, I said it, deep state. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's actually happening. Impeachment gate. So the public proceedings are starting this week. Of course, the GOP handed over a list of who they would like to call as witnesses. And it was unsurprisingly rejected by the Democrats.
I know it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, is it though? I mean, it is, but then you're like, okay, well, they, of course, they would do that. You've got Hunter Biden, who was on their list. Mm-hmm. The whistleblower, who, you know, Facebook doesn't want us to say his name, Eric Charamella.
Can you say Charamella?
Thank you.
Charamella.
Charamella.
Who else was on it? I mean, it would have been pretty interesting. Alexandra Chalupa.
Ah.
She was on it as well.
Chalupa.
Yeah.
I thought that was something you'd get at Taco Bell.
Then they're delicious.
Oh, don't get him started on Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, man.
We've lost him the rest
cheddar,
of the show.
The toasted cheddar ones they have out now.
So, oh, somebody's amazing. Last name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. So now the Senate, of course, is looking at a couple different options. But Lindsey Graham came out and said that if the Senate does not get to talk to the whistleblower, impeachment will be dead on arrival. Adam Schiff is, of course, protecting this whistleblower at all costs, which is really stupid because we all know his name, because the Democrats released transcripts that didn't redact his name. So that was you. That was your bad, Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess what are your thoughts on Graham's comments that impeachment will be dead on arrival if we don't get to talk to the whistleblower? It seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's like me getting charged with rape and I go to court and the plaintiff is just a government there and there's no plaintiff there.
Yeah. You know,
I get to face my accusers. It makes perfect sense.
You should. Mm-hmm. This
should be live on TV in the House of Representatives, like the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yeah, everybody should be able to sit there and question what's going on and see what's happening. And they're protecting the person. That's outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter Biden's a great one, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, if they go to the Senate, and this is where they typically have more ability to kind of push back, you know, in a trial situation. But if it goes to the Senate, I mean, how do you not have Hunter Biden in there? The main case would be here, hey, we want to investigate Hunter Biden because we think he did something wrong. What you're saying is I'm only doing it for political purposes. Mm-hmm. Well, let's bring Hunter Biden out here and see if he did anything wrong.
Right.
We should have the ability for the American people to judge that.
Exactly. That's why I wonder if the White House should try to change their messaging on this, because the left-wing media and also Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I saw over the weekend, come out and say it's absolutely inappropriate that we should ask Hunter Biden to testify. He doesn't have anything to do with this. And I'm like,
this is what this whole thing's about.
What are you talking about? That is what spurred this entire thing.
I think the Democrats are brain dead now. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's incredible that they get away with saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody pushes
his
back.
His father's on tape
bragging
about quid pro quo.
Yes. Yeah.
It's on tape.
Yeah. There's a great story in the New York Times today, which is exactly how you would expect it to be. Just completely exonerating Hunter Biden on all of the stuff in the Ukraine. Mm. And a buried down, like, I mean, this is a little bit in depth on the story, but you buried down like three quarters of the way through the story. There's this little paragraph about how, you know, Joe Biden never said anything about Burisma. He never had anything to do with this. It wasn't even a focus of his investigations on the energy sector. And you're like, wait a minute, what were his investigations on the energy sector? They go on to say that he was targeting the main competition of Burisma. Well, it's like, you know, if Hunter Biden's got a job at Burger King and Joe Biden's going after McDonald's, those are tied.
Kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
So just all of y'all's thoughts really quickly. There are two trains of thought here, I think, from the conservative side. One is Mitch McConnell needs to just completely shut this down. Don't even visit it. Don't even give them any credibility. Don't open it. There's another vein that says, yeah, we should look at it and we should get all of the facts, because this is when the real trial happens. This is when the American public gets to hear the truth and the facts of the matter. And you Democrats are going to look really stupid when the truth comes out. Let me go around the table really quickly. Stu, what side are you on that?
I can see both sides of it, because you can say, oh, well, just dismiss it and don't give it any credibility. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, if you think of the way this is going to play out, the next 2 weeks we've got testimony from all the best witnesses the Democrats think they have, right? Like all their best materials coming out in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Then we go through Thanksgiving and Christmas. We come out on the other side. I'm sure they're going to impeach him around Christmas. You know, that's all what is least expected. You come out on the other side, then you have the Senate trial. What do you have from Democrats? You're going to have Democrats bring up the same witnesses being questioned again. We've already heard all their best material. Mm-hmm. What we haven't heard is word one from someone who is actually defending Trump and on that side of it. And I think they'd have the entire spotlight really, because all the other stuff is repeat stuff. Mm-hmm. They'd be able to go after these witnesses and really, and also bring in people like Hunter Biden, I think. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of that is the kind of side benefit is it pulls all those senators off the campaign trail and it just screws with their head, which I kind of like that as well. Yeah. I mean, poor Cory Booker would not be able to go, you know, Amy Klobuchar.
Crazy eyes. He'll won't be doing his crazy eyes on the campaign.
There you go.
So around people while you're talking.
On the floor. Yeah. What do you think, Hugh?
I would go with the latter. I mean, if it goes to like the trial and everything, Biden, his son, all these people should be put in the seat and answer questions. Mm-hmm. And the entire country will see that everybody on the Democratic side are full of it. Yeah. And I think that could potentially galvanize, you know, Trump's constituency even more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the country needs to know what's going on. Because they turn on TV and hear one thing and it's complete lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they leave out specific details.
Yeah, and they believe it.
Do you agree, Kevin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I strongly agree. And it would be good TV, too.
It would be good TV. Yeah. Good for all of us who are in media.
I don't know, you know?
All right, we've got much more to come when we return.
It'll be fun. That's going to be a fun scene.
Well, that's why Jason... Before we get back into the conversation, we want to thank our sponsor, Quip. Welcome to the show, Quip. Quip makes a really awesome electric toothbrush. And, you know how the electric toothbrush goes. You don't need the Oral-B one from the grocery store. You need Quip. Quip, it means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day, flossing regularly. No matter what brand you use, Quip makes it more simple. Starting with the electric toothbrush, they have refillable floss. That's huge, because I hate it when I get to the end of the floss thing and I'm like, oh, well, this isn't enough for me to finish. So thanks a lot. They have refillable floss and, of course, anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean that is still gentle on your sensitive gums. And the floss dispenser has pre-marked string, which helps you use just enough.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good idea.
You know, you hear these ideas and you're like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
You see this, you go on Shark Tank, and you're like, oh, well, if only I would have thought of that, I could be rich, okay?
That's why we're failures.
And we're doing reads for the smart people at Quip.
Yeah.
You don't want to use the old worn-out bristles that are ineffective. Quip delivers fresh brush head, floss, toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months, so you know that you don't have to keep track. It's like your air filter. You don't know when it's up. You don't know when it's gone bad. You need them to keep track for you. That's what Quip does for your toothbrush. Right now, if you go to quip.com/itmatters, you will get your first refill free. Join 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today. It starts at $25. That is getquip.com/itmatters. getquip.com/itmatters. Go get your toothbrush. Nobody wants you to have messed up mouth and gums. Okay, that's not fun for your friends. That's not fun for your family. Do them a favor and go get.
Yeah, that's the worst. Teeth and gum action.
So I tried to cover this particular act that has happened in Texas that a lot of people don't know about is happening. So the latest victim of the Texas Advanced Directives Act is a 9-month-old baby. Now, this act that takes place in Texas is called the Texas 10-day rule, which basically means that the hospital in Texas can decide to pull life-saving or life support treatments from any patient for whatever reason they decide. All they have to do is they have to meet together. The hospital administrators that all come, that are on this board that make this decision, mm-hmm. they all get together, they meet, whatever reason, doesn't have to be medical, nothing. They can decide for any reason, they're going to pull your plug. And they're able to basically euthanize you. So
hard to believe that happens in Texas.
In Texas, of all places. 9-month-old Tinsley Lewis is the latest victim, I should say, of this act. Now, I will say, October 31st, they told the family that they were invoking the 10-day rule and that they were going to take Tinsley off of her life support system. Now, she's only on a ventilator. She's conscious. She's sedated. She has congestive heart disease, but she's conscious. Wow. I mean, there's a video of this baby looking around. She's alert. And the hospital said that they just didn't think that the quality of life was there. And so they invoked the 10-day rule. Mm-hmm. And her parents, her mom basically thought, they're about to kill my kid. Texas Right to Life stepped in. They gave her until at least the 22nd of November. But Sarah Palin got made fun of for talking about death panels.
What is this?
What is this?
Yeah. That seems like exactly what it is. Now, is this, would they allow them to move the baby to another hospital, or is this just...
So oftentimes they will, but I mean, you have to have the hospital's cooperation,
right?
And you only have 10 days. So as Kim Schwartz from Texas Right to Life told me today, this is not 10 business days. It's 10 days total. So imagine you're just a regular average Texan.
Yes,
and
nothing.
You're told, they said 4 of the 10 days in Tinsley's case were weekends.
Wow.
What do you do?
I mean, it's incomprehensible that that can happen in Texas. I mean, have you talked to Greg Abbott about this yet?
No, we need to.
We do, because, I mean, this just doesn't seem central to anything that he's doing. I mean, he's been a huge defender of life in every case that I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem possible, right? I mean, like, this is the story that you get from, like, you know, the Netherlands or something,
right,
where everyone's horrified in the United States.
Yeah.
And we all say, hey, someday it could come here. This is actually how I learned about this, because we were talking about, I think it was Charlie Gard or one of those cases, and we brought it up, and we made the same point, like, someday this could come here. And you're like, it's right down the street. It's happening already. And you had several examples.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I mean, look, life is important. And we've come to this place where, you know, there is, what, one candidate in the Democratic field who will say no third-term abortions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one. Now we're talking about people who are actually born. You know, in some cases, adults who are conscious and able to, you know, still do things, and they're just pulling plugs. It's insanity.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine with Medicare for All, that only gets way better, right?
Well,
what are your thoughts?
Solve that problem. So the one thing I understand, is she terminal? Is she beyond saving?
They have not said that. They have They have not diagnosed her as being terminal.
I can understand if you're just prolonging the inevitable. I mean, it's tough for the family to pull the plug on their loved one, but if you're prolonging the inevitable, I can see possibly why this something like this could happen. But if that's not the case, this is horrible.
Well, and I will say the 10-day rule does not, it excludes anyone who is, quote, brain dead. So that's a whole different category in itself. It doesn't even apply to the 10-day rule.
Right.
So you couldn't even say, well, they're brain dead. There's no brain activity. There's no life to be had.
Yeah, but this baby is conscious.
That.
She's smiling. She wants to be held. It's like, and you want to pull a plug on that? It's sounds kind of sick to me. And for you not to have a reason doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I understand your point is that there is something to be said for a family who is, they don't want to make the hard decision. And I understand, and I would never wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
However, you leave that up to a hospital board.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
I think the hospital has some rights to be able to say who's in their hospital. Mm-hmm. And if they treat someone and they don't believe there's any hope, to say, like, look, we're going to give you some time to try to find something else if you want to do this, but we can't do any more for them here. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really uncomfortable and an awful situation that no one wants to be in, but at least it's kind of understandable. This idea where it's like, well, the quality of life doesn't seem so great, so let's pull the plug. That's just, you know, it's cold.
Yeah, it looked like they would have some options for the family, at least.
Yeah,
it looked like the hospital would have some options. Maybe the hospital can reach out to other hospitals to assist the family, but they're like, here, this is what's going on. You take care of it. You got 10 days.
Right. Yeah, you certainly wouldn't expect that from a children's hospital. That's what gets me. Pediatric hospital.
Yeah. And look, the whole thing is insane, but 10 days is really insane. I mean, maybe it's 100 days. At least give you some time to be able to look at some options and everything else. I mean, it really is one of those stories that you almost don't believe. It feels like one of those things you'd be on Facebook, you'd be clicking on, and like it's got the fake news banner at the top of it. This should not be reality in the United States of America.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to tweet Governor Abbott, write him, however you want to get in contact with him, let him know that we have got to hold a special session to get rid of the Texas Advanced Directives Act. Help save little baby Tinsley. Tweet him, email him, call him. Do whatever you need to do. We will be right back.
I was going to say something, but I thought it was inappropriate.
Kevin,
yeah.
You said what?
Where's Black Lives Matter when you need them? Yeah.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
It's a really great point. I mean, where are they when you need them for all of the millions of abortions that are taking place? They're aborting millions of black babies.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter is not to say black lives. It's used to divide us. That's the whole position.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. All right. Stay with us. Coming up in overtime, we're talking about AOC. So,
oh, man.
Need I even say more? You got to
tune in.
BlazeTV.com. We'll see you there.
Up next, enjoy bonus overtime content from the news and why it matters. Available exclusively for podcast listeners and Blaze TV subscribers. Not a subscriber? Start your free trial at BlazeTV.com.
Our favorite, our very favorite on this program since Robert Francis O'Rourke dropped out of the presidential race, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was out stumping for Bernie Sanders, who she just recently endorsed. And
match made in heaven.
Yes, right. Well, did you see that? What the Ringo of the squad, as we call her, Ayanna Pressley, she was the only one that deviated from endorsing Bernie Sanders, and she went Elizabeth Warren, which I thought was interesting.
From Massachusetts.
I don't know.
Pressley?
I don't know that much about Pressley.
I know. No one
She's
does.
Ringo.
No
Come on. You don't know.
I know the backstory.
You don't know.
He's the guy in the back. You can barely see him over the drums.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like, is Elizabeth Warren doing well in Massachusetts?
Not particularly.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But I mean, I think they may have a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's not. I mean, it's tough because Bernie, who's her main competition, is from right there, too.
Yes.
So they both do well in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. But I mean, Bernie's could easily beat her in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Well, Ayanna Pressley broke ranks, but AOC right there in lockstep with Bernie Sanders. She was stumping for him on the campaign trail. And you know how you can say something, those of us at the table, we can say something very simple. It just takes two sentences. You're like, hey, we don't like it when politicians tell us they're going to do something and then they don't do it.
Right.
And we demand better. So that's my way of saying it. Here is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's way of saying it. Watch.
And so when you elect a politician and then they let you down, it feels like rejection. It feels like heartbreak. It feels like betrayal. And it feels like I never want to love again.
Jesus.
That's what that feels like. And so I understand how that feels because I felt that way. But you know what happens when you say, I never want to love again? Your heart gets black and you turn angry and you get very anxious.
What?
You know what she's doing? She's projecting. When she said black, she's talking about her ex-black boyfriend.
That's what, but I'm like, who hurt you?
Yeah.
Does someone need
Some
to check
black guy.
Does someone need to check in on her?
She's saying it feels like rejection. I've been rejected. Yeah. I know what that feels like. I don't get that from politicians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rejection?
You get disappointed.
Exactly.
But you don't feel rejected.
But it makes me wonder, is she being serious or is she just, usually she just talks to fill space, right?
She just being
no idea.
Crazy.
She just makes it up as she goes along. Or is she really, there's something to it because the left views politics as their religion, right? So part of me is like, maybe she really did mean that because she knows that the whole entire left, that's how they view it. This is life and death to them.
Yeah, I think too, they you know, the left bases big politicians and presidents and things of this nature, they put them on pedestals as gods, as almost like love interests. Like they dedicate their heart and their soul. And she's in this weird activism group as well, where, you know, I think she's a little bit off. She's got the eyes of a crazy girlfriend. That's 100%. And I think like that kind of like the whole progressive agenda basically elevates these people above everyone else. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, if you idolized a singer and then you met them and they were a jerk, like that's the feeling she's talking about. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, look, she's a bubbling idiot, but I do think that she was
bubbling.
She definitely is like I don't know what, you know, but I do think that's kind of true with her. Like, I mean, yes, she's trying to fill space.
Feel like you want to, you can never love again, still.
I know, like, what?
Never.
She sounds like a scorned lover. She sounds like she's preaching government dependency.
She certainly is. But I mean, the anger when she said, it makes your heart black and you get anger and anxiety. And
a
I'm
black
just like,
heart.
I'm like, Yeah. I've never felt that when, I mean, I've been upset. I'm pissed off that I have to pay more in taxes, but like heart my heart doesn't turn black. This seems kind of like A to Z.
She loves to use inflammatory language, and it galvanizes her constituents.
Yeah.
I mean, what did she say about the camps at the border? She called them concentration camps. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
She blames Trump. She says Trump is doing it. You exactly. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Trump is just being honest.
Right.
And he's honest. He told you what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. Well, and that, so kind of in that vein, President Trump was in attendance at the LSU-Alabama football game on Saturday. That was a rough one for my household.
I thought it was fantastic.
That was a rough one for my household.
I loved it.
I could hear it in your voice.
Anytime I can watch Alabama lose, I am I'm all in on that one.
Roll Tide. They rolled over.
Sorry, honey. my husband graduated from Alabama and is currently directing this show, so I'm sure he really?
That's a great university, though. It's okay. We're probably never going to be on the show again.
But President Trump was in attendance, and you know, we hear so often, you know, you heard from the media, what was it, the Nationals game, that people booed him, they said lock him up, then he went to, was it
MMA or something?
MMA, whatever it is. I'm not into that whole thing. But
it's brutal, ain't it?
Yes.
I can't watch a single match.
People get beat up. Like, that's not how I like to spend my
time. They're like, yeah, I won. He's dead. Yes.
So we hear different things from the mainstream media about how President Trump is accepted, welcomed in these sporting events. Here is a little bit of how President Trump was accepted at the LSU Alabama game.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Alabama. We won it.
Dude, come on.
Yeah, that's MAGA country right there.
I mean, very warm reception.
Yeah.
I saw some overhead pictures and video that were just like that.
And you know what's crazy? Out of all those people, I did not see one Nazi.
Really?
Not one.
Well, they were hiding all of their Nazi tattoos under their clothes. That must have been what it was. I mean, but it is very, it's interesting to compare how President Trump was received. Now, I realize it is a football game, so I'm not going to pretend like all of these football fans were there to see President Trump.
Yeah.
However, you know, you look at, what is this, Warren's latest, I don't know what you call that. Is that a campaign event? Is that a rest stop? I don't know.
A mistake.
A school play, everybody called out sick or something.
Yeah, we've got Bernie Sanders here, who's, there's a lot of seats up there.
That
not a very big
saying
room.
I got more people at my comedy show.
So, I mean,
I would be embarrassed to walk out to that.
I mean, wouldn't you be like, I'm sick.
Yeah.
I'm sick, guys. Yeah, I can't go on stage.
This is a bad look. Let's call this off.
Yeah, did you see Trump's rally last night? Call it off. This is horrible.
But I mean, I think you guys could speak to, because you're you are not shy about your support of the president. You get a lot of heat for it.
Oh, yeah.
But this is, does this kind of speak to you of how you guys feel that, you know, people act like there are not supporters of President Trump and that the Democrats are the only logical conclusion, but you know, you look at middle of America, and they seem to be supporting him.
Yeah, definitely. There's huge support at our comedy shows because we lean so far right. Well, not far right. We're just
okay,
right.
Okay, alt-writers.
Yes, this one article said we as ultra-conservative. I was like, what the hell is that? I'm just conservative. Yeah, I mean, it comes out in our comedy shows. Middle America, they love President Trump because he's doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
He's promised on everything he said he was going to do. He didn't lie and say he was going to not raise your taxes and raise your taxes. He promised everything he was going to do, and he's doing it.
He also, to his credit, he said that he was going to do things like tariffs and things of that nature, which are criticized, you know, with merit, I think, because if you look previously, tariffs have not historically have either not worked or brought unintended consequences to the forefront. But he told us he's going to do it. right? I mean, you got to give him credit for that.
On that, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think this is a smart move too by the campaign to realize like there are certain things like, you know, college football in the South is a great place for him to go and appear,
yes.
Right? Because like, you know, it's one of those,
not a Washington Nationals.
Right, the Washington Nationals. Of course, you're gonna get some booze.
Shouldn't go to a Chicago Bears game. Stay away from that place.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All the biggest games are in the SEC. You've got a bunch of choices here. He should be showing up at those things whenever he feels like it.
Right.
Because I mean, you're gonna get cheers. You're gonna be warmly welcomed if you're Donald Trump.
So late last week, GLAAD, the gay and lesbian, I forget what it stands for, but
what happened to LGBTQ?
Well, they represent the LGBTQ.
They need to pick one acronym.
Quilt bag. It's getting way too confusing.
Alphabet people.
They published an annual Where We Are on TV report, which examines the very, very hard-hitting question of how many LGBTQ characters are on television. They are not happy with their representation on television, and they have said that they would like for there to be 20% of series regular characters to be LGBTQ by the year 2025. They are calling on the industry. No less. They will take no less than 20%
of series regular. It's a new gay green deal, huh?
Seems a little bit weird.
Weird?
Seems like insane. The time
the end credits is going to be gay actor, gay actor, gay actor.
I mean, can we just not watch TV anymore?
Do you have to screen each person and ask them who they'd like to have sex with before you hire them? I mean, right? Is that the process with that? If there's a gay guy who's in the closet,
it's the character.
We all know that a straight guy cannot play a gay guy on TV anymore.
That's true.
Long
oh,
gone,
that's a great
right?
point.
You can't do that, so they have to be authentic.
That's a great point.
Do you have to give proof?
You can't be a video. You can't be a straight male playing a gay guy.
Right.
You gotta be a real gay guy.
You gotta be a real gay guy.
And how do you know that he's
exactly.
really gay?
Exactly. Documentation.
I need pictures. Yeah. I need videos. Yeah.
That's just somebody that's like asking you for pictures. So make sure if that's happening to you.
That's like a white guy playing a black guy, blackface. You can't do that. Yeah. Who did that in that one movie? It was funny too, man. He nailed it.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yes. I love that. Man, that's like he should have got a Grammy or what is it? Oscar? No, it's an Emmy, right? Emmy?
Oscar Academy Award.
Yeah, he's got an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
That's the way.
But
there's gay stuff in everything I watch.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just look at it, and then all of a sudden the teacher's kissing the cop. I'm like, where did this come from? It's like they're forcing it and everything.
Yeah. That's what's so unfortunate is. Yeah. Like,
it's cool if they casually put it in there, but it seems like
very
I'm having gay sex now.
You know? Where are they getting 20% from, too? Like, they don't have any scientific basis to that number, right? Like,
no, I don't think so.
Just pull it out of there.
20%.
Yeah. They should have 20% of people of color that are conservative.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And you're this never going to see that.
Yeah, you're never going to see that. This is actually, so using their own data, LGBTQ television characters, if they got to 20%, would outweigh the actual LGBTQ population by 40%.
Yeah.
If they got to the 20% number.
I mean, at least. I've never heard an LGBTQ number at 10 or 12% before.
4.5.
Yeah, 4.5%. Mm-hmm. That's about five times the amount. That's a...
Yeah.
Well, I just want to make sure that they're heard.
Like, a lot. There's so many freaking TV shows now, right? I mean, they're launching a Disney Plus this week, right? There's already 1,000 of these other services. There are more shows. Everyone can have their own TV show. Now, we're now at the point where every individual person is going to have their own TV show. There's no reason for this anymore.
Yeah, it's in cartoons and everything. Like, I mean, the first time I came across SpongeBob, I didn't know what it was. I said, who's that gay guy here on TV? I said, that Sponge is gay.
Well, to your point.
You're Sponge Gaydar?
He sounds like a gay male.
To your point, Arthur, the cartoon character Arthur.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They're anteaters, right? So Arthur's teacher, I think it was, had a gay marriage.
They're
anteaters.
They're preaching bestiality on their cartoon.
Or rats. Maybe they're rats. I don't know. Whatever they are.
Hey, whoever drew that cartoon.
Aardvark?
Yeah, that anteater. It's an anteater, right?
I think it is.
Aardvark. It looked gay, didn't it?
A gay
How can you do that? He looks so gay. He's looking at each other like, yeah, they look gay. A gay aardvark and a gay rat.
A guard bark.
Mispronounced it. I'm sorry. I can't speak English.
Before we get to the polls, you guys are out on tour right now on your comedy tour. As you can see, they are funny and they don't care about pushing the boundaries. Tell everyone where they can find information about your comedy tour. Hey,
HogsTwinsTour.com. We got shows in Addison next week.
But you tell them it's sold out already. You're going to be disappointed when it goes.
Houston. We're in Houston the week after.
Yeah. And we got plenty of shows always.
Okay, so.
Up in the new year.
Hodge Twins Tour.
HodgeTwinsTour.com.
HodgeTwinsTour.com. Go there. These guys are funny. All right. Friday.
Forced.
Was it forced? Friday. Well, really what I wanted to say was support your comedians also who are willing to go out and say that they support the president, joke about the other side. You know, our good friend Chad Prather, he does the same thing and gets the same kind of reception because no one else is willing to do it.
Yeah.
So funny. He was... I got my days mixed up. And I'm like, Chad, where are you? I'm here. He's like, dude, I'm in Ireland. The 18th is supposed to be there. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. So you guys are coming back to be on Chad Prather, on with Chad Prather.
I would definitely try.
If you can get the date right this time. All right, Friday's poll. This was the weirdest question. All right, we don't write the questions, okay? Stu and I don't write the questions.
Sarah does write the questions.
I do not. Shut up.
She claims she doesn't write the questions.
Have you started preparing for the war on Christmas this year? We were like, how do you prepare for the war on Christmas? Is there special gear you need to buy? I don't know. But
I didn't realize it was a war on Christmas.
61% of you said no. You have not prepared. 39% said yes. I wish that there was a third option. That was how the hell do you prepare for the war on Christmas? Mm-hmm. But that was not an option. Today's poll, should the U.S., this is an interesting one. Should the U.S. decriminalize all drugs?
What in the world? Mm-hmm. You're going to legalize crack? Heroin? Are these people mad?
Well, we know Kevin's answer on the poll question. Should
we? Imagine somebody crack cocaine and drive behind a wheel?
I mean, that's basically happening in Los Angeles, but...
It's called Skid Row. Look how they live.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want to turn American in Skid Row.
Exactly. What do you think?
You got to be able to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
I mean, alcohol's fine. I mean, I could see maybe weed, but they come out with this new weed. It's like crack.
Yeah.
It's
really?
Like people are like getting super high. Yeah, my black friend was telling me about it. I mean, no, they shouldn't do that.
Stu, what do you think?
I mean, I don't like it federally. I don't think it's I think it should come from the states more, it's probably a better idea. There's not a lot in the Constitution that are founding that would support really controlling it the way they're doing it now. That being said, I'd rather not crash into crack dealers.
You're like marijuana, everybody's already doing it. I'm not doing it per se, but
Per se.
I mean, I tried some gummy bears the other week. It's pretty cool, but.
Hey, as long as you're in the state where it's legal, it's fine.
I wasn't in a state it was legal.
I will say, I have been reading in the states where it is legal that there are a lot more like car accidents and stuff like that. Maybe some unintended consequences, of legalizing it. The libertarian in me wants to say, we shouldn't criminalize drugs. A person can do what they want to with their bodies, which, as you pointed out, Keith, that, alcohol is technically poison, and we are allowed to put that in our bodies at great,
I still can't get over walking into 7-Eleven and buying crack.
Yeah, but then it's like morally, you're like, I don't know that I want to live in a society where just people are just doing crack all around you.
I think it's going to be interesting, though. You mentioned the gummy bear thing. There was a guy in the Miami Heat that ate edibles and wound up testing positive, and then now there's all these issues going on with that. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen more and more when it's just like in a gummy bear. Like, there's an easy chance that someone could eat that, not know what it is, and wind up either testing positive or God only knows what happens to them.
Well, you're going to know about 15 minutes later. Especially empty stomach.
Let us know what you guys think. Should the U.S. decriminalize all drugs? You can go to The Blaze's Twitter. That is, of course, @TheBlaze. And go to HodgeTwinsTour.com. Go check out where the Hodge Twins are going to be next. Go get you a ticket. They are super awesome. Fun to be around. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
If you can fit it in your schedule, we'd love to have you back on when you come back.
Oh, yeah,
Chad's show. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, so I made them commit on air so that they come back.
Slavery!
Thanks for being here, you guys.
Abolished!
That's what we do here at The Blaze. That's what we're about.
binding contract. You're coming back.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.